Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend as our NBA conversation continues, specifically the border battle in the Western Conference Finals between the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Certainly, Game 1 on Tuesday night will count as perhaps one of the greatest playoff performances of all time from Dirk Nowitzki, who was absolutely sensational. And I tell you what, we are so thrilled to welcome into our program one of the Dallas Mavs favorites as a player way back in the day, and he now serves as the color analyst on the Mavs television broadcast, the great Derek Harper. It is so wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much, Derek.
You're very welcome. This is my pleasure.
Well, first of all, let's start off by talking about number 41, just that superb effort. The stat line definitely said it all. 48 points, 6 rebounds, 4 block shots, and perfect from the free throw line. He truly was a one-man wrecking crew. What was your impressions?
Well, I was flabbergasted, to be honest with you, watching Dirk perform. And I don't think there's, even though Derrick Rose won the MVP, I think LeBron was a close second or whatever the case might be, but I don't think anybody that plays in the league right now can do what Dirk Nowitzki did in Game 1 the way he did it. Dirk, obviously a 7-foot guy that really plays the perimeter well, but I think what has really taken him to a different level is his ability to get to the free throw line by putting pressure on the defense in the paint. And that's the big difference in him. It was just one of those performances that will go down in history, like you mentioned, as one of the better performances in the playoffs.
Well, you've been around Dirk for a long time. Of course, he's been a part of this organization for 13 years. In your mind, Derek, is this the best performance of all time, the best game he's ever had?
I don't think there's any doubt. From an efficient standpoint, I mean, you talked about his free throw shooting, but took just 15 shots to get 48 points. That's just phenomenal.
Right.
And just his focus, his overall focus in that game. And in the past, we've talked about Dirk not having killer instinct, all of these different negatives that we pointed to. I think you can leave those things at the door because the guy truly has developed and shown that he's one of the better players in this league for a long time. He's been very consistent in what he's been able to do.
Oklahoma City, the Thunder, are a very respectable team, one of the young teams in the league. Why do you think that, you know, Dirk was able to execute at such a high level and be so effective? I mean, he was just relentless, and they just kept platooning and throwing so many defensive guys at him, and they had no answers.
Well, you hear people say all the time, Melissa, that was good defense, but better offense always wins out. And I don't think Oklahoma did a terrible job against Dirk Nowitzki. Obviously, he almost fouled guys, 3 or 4 guys out. However, he made challenge shots, and I think those 9 days that the Mavericks had off, Dirk, being the gym rat that he is, spent a lot of time in the arena working on his game, working on the different off-balance shots that only Dirk Nowitzki can make, and it paid dividends for him. It really paid off for him, and I think you can expect something a little bit different from Oklahoma as far as trying to defend this guy, because if Dirk goes for what he went for in Game 1, I think the Mavericks are in position to win Game 2 as well.
That has been a big storyline. How will Oklahoma City defend Dirk Nowitzki? You know, what type of adjustments will they make? It is amazing when you start looking at all the numbers. Of course, Dirk drew 16 fouls from 7 different defenders. And, I mean, Thabo Sefolosha, he's one of the better perimeter defenders in the NBA. Serge Ibaka, I mean, he was just waving that stick hand in his face to try to distract him. But I thought what was really remarkable, talk about this, Derek, just how patient Dirk was and how he would read and respond to exactly what the defense would give him, and then just that aggressive nature to drop the shoulder and take it to the rack strong and get fouled, as you said.
Well, absolutely. And if you look at great offensive guys, a lot of them do things off the dribble. The minute Dirk Nowitzki catches the ball, he squares the guy up. He's in the triple threat position, which really puts the offense at an advantage. If it's a bigger guy, he's using his dribble to get around that guy, his quickness over those guys who aren't comfortable on the perimeter. He goes right around those guys in a lot of cases. And if it's a smaller guy, you mentioned Sefolosha, he's a smaller guy, so Dirk backs him down, really puts a lot of pressure on him because he doesn't have the ability to really challenge his shot when he gets closer to the basket. So he's a nightmare matchup for most teams in the league, and I think Dallas is in position to use him sometimes as a decoy as this series moves forward.
The great Derek Harper is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com, and you can listen to this radio interview in its entirety on our e-podcast page. Of course, Derek, he is the Mavs television analyst, does an outstanding job, and we were just highlighting, talking about the masterful job of Dirk Nowitzki, but let's move forward and also talk about one of the veteran players out there, Jason Terry, and I know you spend so much time around these guys. Have you had a chance to visit with him and spend some time talking about his postseason play? Because he has really dialed it up a notch and is playing lights out.
He's playing well. And, I mean, Jed is one of those guys that, you mentioned his experience, he's always had the ability to score baskets. And I think he's one of the better shooters that this league has right now. And you match him up with a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, you kind of pick your poison. And I think these guys, he was on this team when the Mavericks in 2006, when the Mavericks had their opportunities, couldn't find a way to get it done in 2006. And I think these guys are in the have the mindset that it's time to seize the moment of a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity for this team. And, you know, the fact that they've been there and came up a little bit short, I think they have the right approach at this time of the year. I think Dallas right now is playing better than anybody in the league, mainly because of Jason Terry and the guy we just finished talking about, Dirk Nowitzki.
Well, you know, the Mavs, it seems like they've learned some critical lessons along the way. Of course, we think back to Game 4 against Portland, you know, that horrific 23-point loss. But then also, you know, just the fortitude, the internal fortitude that this team has shown, you know, being down by as much as 16 points in Game 1 against the Lakers and making that significant run. You talk about being hungry. The guy that I just have really appreciated his play, he plays like a starved man. Derek, you're a former point guard. What about J.J. Barea? 21 points in 16 minutes. Are you kidding me?
Well, he's part of that mob squad, they call him, that comes off the bench.
Have
been tremendous. We talked about Jed a little bit. You know, J.J. is just a guy that simply believes in himself. A lot of people don't realize J.J. wasn't drafted into the NBA, so he's been about really proving himself, working hard, continuing to get better. And I think once you allow a guy like J.J. Barea to find his place in the NBA, then you have a guy that's going to come out and attack and attack and attack, and that's what he does. He puts a lot of pressure on the defense. I think he's a great complement to Jason Kidd, a guy that doesn't really have the ability to just score a lot of points once he penetrates and gets in the lane. Jason has that crafty ability to finish over big once he gets in there. And you know, he's worked on his outside shot. He's knocking down three-pointers, and Mavericks wouldn't be where they are if J.J. Barea hadn't performed the way he's performed, not only throughout the playoffs, but during the regular season as well.
He is so effective with that high pick and roll, but I thought what was really amazing, I mean, Oklahoma City has always been a really good defensive team. We think of Ron Adams and just the impact he had with that team and organization last year, of course, now with the Chicago Bulls. But the fact that the Thunder could not contain J.J. Barea's dribble drive, I mean, he was just taking it to him hard and picking him apart.
Well, he has that ability. You know, I think you look at J.J. and you almost underestimate the guy. You don't really think he can do the things that he's capable of doing. But, again, he has that confidence. He's done it all year long. And teams are now starting to game plan for him, but they're still not able to keep him from where he wants to go. One of the biggest things for a defense is to keep guys from penetrating that defense, because once that happens, it opens up dunks, it opens up offensive rebounding, and a whole cast of things can happen to you once your defense is broken down. So his ability to get in there, I think, is really going to be key as this series moves forward.
Well, you can't underestimate him. I know the roster lists him at 6 feet tall, but is he really 6 feet? I'm 6'1", and I feel like I've got a head on him, you know, head and shoulders above him a little.
Matter. He gets it done. At the trade deadline, I don't think a lot of people realize there are a lot of people that were interested in J.J. Barea because they see the value of a guy like that. I used to think, Melissa, that the longer you left J.J. on the floor, you could expose him a little bit. But he's really gotten comfortable in his role coming off the bench. And, you know, Coach Carlisle has a lot of confidence in this guy. You see him in late games for the Mavericks a lot of nights when they're trying to close out games.
We are hooping it up, talking to Derek Harper, the Mavs television analyst, has done an outstanding job. We remember all the years that he was with them as a player. We miss those playing days and watching you out there on the court. But talk to us about, you had just highlighted Coach Carlisle. I mean, his execution on the sideline, he's making key substitutions. And after such a significant layoff, just how he's been able to keep these guys fresh and hungry and just mentally, emotionally, physically, how they were ready to go. They certainly didn't show any rust.
Well, I think that's one of Rick's qualities. I think he's been in so many different wars. He plays the game. He relates to his guys extremely well. I think one of his qualities is just really understanding the flow, really understanding the heartbeat of the guys that he works with. He really understands what it takes to he pushes the right buttons more than anything.
Right.
And I don't know if you heard, but they had a real hard practice right before Oklahoma was finishing up their series against Memphis. And I just thought that was really keen because it is very easy to become rusty. But if you're having those real tough practices and pushing and shoving and trying to emulate game situation, that certainly helps you regardless to how long that you're going to be waiting on your next opponent. And I think him doing all of those different things was a credit to him and a credit to his staff because they were certainly ready. I didn't see a lot of rust in what Dallas was trying to do on in game one.
Well, it's interesting. We had, you know, your play-by-play guy on our show last week, Mark Folliwell, and he talked about that specific scrimmage. Coach Carlisle had shared with him that there was going to be rewards for the winners and consequences for the losers.
That's the way you do it. Just trying to keep guys with that competitive mindset is what they're trying to do more than anything. And, you know, Dallas, again, they've been in this situation a lot of times. And I just think that they finally, going back, which has helped this team to really understand what it takes to get it done. I don't think anybody's going to jeopardize this opportunity that they have right now. They're mentally tuned in and ready to go.
There's always areas that you can prove if you are with the Mavs, and that, of course, is the defensive effort. They cannot continue to give up 112 points to the Thunder. They have got to limit Kevin Durant from going off. I mean, he just very quietly scored 40 points. I mean, that wasn't obviously the headline.
Right. Kevin played well. You know, the Russell Westbrook, they controlled him, kept him out of the paint. You know, that's the first time Dallas has given up 100 points in a long time. I think for the whole playoffs, they've held teams under that. Oklahoma's definitely a lot different team as far as scoring the basketball is concerned. If one guy can get 40, surely that puts them in position to score 100-plus points. However, it's how they get those points. If they don't get them in the paint, which they weren't able to do in game one, then I don't think you worry so much about them scoring their points. You know, just score more points. And Dallas is very capable of scoring, outscoring this basketball team. You're not going to contain a great offensive team all the time, but I think making them earn it, which Dallas did in game one, was the key for them closing Oklahoma out in the first game.
Derek, we are quickly running out of time. Just give us some of the keys for the Mavs as they continue, because they'll be headed up to Oklahoma City here on Saturday.
Well, what has the Mavericks in this position is making shots. This team has to continue to make shots. I don't think they can settle for jump shots. Surely good rhythm jump shots you can't turn down. This is the best shooting team in the league. And, you know, when I look at them from a defensive standpoint, they have to get back in transition, number one, because Oklahoma definitely likes to push the ball with Westbrook. Get back and just force Oklahoma to be a perimeter team. And, again, I think they're in position, if the game is close down the stretch with their experience, to put Oklahoma away.
My final thought for you is, you know, we give so much credit and praise to the players, to the coaches, but you really have to tip your hat to the ownership and just the commitment that Mark Cuban has made throughout the years just to secure and get those good players. And he's really created, you know, spending some time around these guys just to create such a special environment. And not every owner is willing to do those types of things.
Well, Mark is phenomenal. I mean, from day one, he changed the landscape of this franchise. He came in and, you know, created a buzz for the Dallas Mavericks right away. And Stevie Wonder can see the passion that Mark Cuban has for what he's doing, no offense in saying what I'm saying. But he used to be one of those guys that were on the officials, that was yelling, that was screaming, that was all over the place. But I think he's really he's sort of pulled back a little bit. It's helped his basketball team. And he's allowing the staff that he hired to do their job. And, you know, again, he's the reason why this team is in position, along with Donnie Nelson. I think Pager was a great find for this team. Tyson Chandler, obviously all defensive guy for the Mavericks this year, was a great find by the organization and the front office. And, you know, when you have this kind of success, not one or two guys get credit. Everybody collectively deserves credit, especially Mark Cuban and Donnie Nelson.
All I can say is it's been a lot of fun to watch, and I hope for your sake that those Mavs are going to be sipping on some champagne when all this is said and done. We'll invite you back, and we'll talk some more, Derek.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.